Welcome to our pre-show here for Friday. Whee! Now, what the fuck are we going to do, man? I got everybody telling me their favorite bits from the month of February. We've got to pull those. Oh, we're going to pull those, and we're using them in a mailer. That's it. But I really should, at some point, maybe this weekend or Monday's show, we should feature those, shouldn't we? Yeah. All right. Thank you, though, everyone that participated. We love you. We love you. We can't live without you. Now, what? Unbelievable. All I know is, and you guys were here. Many of you were here. Some of you were here. I don't know how many of you are here. Back in Christmas of 2009, some of you may recall watching the video cast of me. I wish we could go back to 2009. I wish we had those video casts. We don't. Do we have those anywhere? Where are those goddamn things, man? Are they still? They may be somewhere on the site. They could very well be on the site. I don't know. I haven't looked for them. Why does it smell like burning motherfucking plastic? I did what I used to do in those days, which was a Christmas carol. Remember that? I did a live Christmas carol, Christmas Eve or the 23rd. I don't know which, but I smoked my last three packs of cigarettes that day. The next day was Christmas Eve, and I think we had the day off. On Christmas Day, I was getting sick, and by the day after Christmas, I was really sick. I had flu. I had swine flu. 2009. As the week progressed and I tried to cure myself, and literally it was, I think the 26th was like a Monday, and then I think the first day of 2010 was a Saturday, if I'm not mistaken. I went into the hospital on January 1st, 2010. Throughout that next week, I tried to cure myself using Vicks, all of the traditional cures, and couldn't do it. And by Thursday, I was on my way to the urgent care where Dr. Alt works, who was also my physician, and he also had this urgent care. So it was like I'd see him before the other patients if I made an appointment. But I had to go over there, and I had to lay down in there. I was so sick. I was laying down in the examination room, and he came in. He looked me over. He said, you know, he treated me, gave me antibiotics, everything that he could think to do. I can't even remember what it was. He said, I'm going to send you home. I'm going to call you tomorrow to see how you are. Okay. Because we may have to put you in the hospital. I said, I got it. I went home. Felt like shit. Saturday, I drove over to his office. I almost passed out getting out of the car. And I knew I was really sick when I almost passed out coming up the stairs in the house. And I think I called Susie. She came over. And she talked to Dr. Alt. And they worked out their thing. So that's how she knew what to do. She had my insurance cards. She drove me to the hospital. And checked me in. I had no fucking clue what I was fucking doing. She stood there with me and got me into that hospital with my insurance cards. I can't thank you enough, Susie. You know, she's still in my life. She works, you know, does all kinds of stuff for me. And she got me into that fucking hospital. Of course, she had the use of my Jaguar for the rest of the week. But anyway, I'm just kidding. It certainly was no fair trade-off. But I went to the hospital. And you got pneumonia, Phil. You got double pneumonia. Okay. And then they put me in my room. And I remember on my first night there, I was like, this is great, man. I had a single room. I already was feeling better because they'd given me antibiotics. They treated me for my fever. I was on oxygen. What did I have? Did I have the nose thing? I don't know what the fuck. They were pumping the oxygen into me, but they kept saying, take deep breaths, man. Take deep breaths. Because if oxygen went below 90% of my blood, the alarm went off. You'd hear this. And wake up with this shit. So take deep breaths, you know. So I learned how to do that throughout the week. And then I was down an x-ray probably three times that week. The part of it that I didn't like and I would never get used to was being in a wheelchair. And the feeling that gives you, I can't describe it. When you suddenly realize you're dependent upon other people to get you from one place to the next, it ain't a good feeling, man. And they didn't even bother to take me down to x-ray. The third time, the x-ray technicians came up to my room and x-rayed me in my bed. And then the doctor visited me. I said, when am I going to get out of here? And he said, you know what, Phil? You gave me the great tsunami quote. It's a tsunami, Phil. It's washing over top of you. And when it's gone, it's gone. And by then I was getting better, getting antsy. Alex brought me some. I got so sick of the hospital food, as everybody does. Alex brought me some Pollo Loco. I remember calling him and saying, please, man, bring me some fucking Pollo Loco or something, man. And he did. And that whole week I spent watching Phineas and Ferb and League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, which is one of the worst fucking movies I've ever seen in my life. It was weird, man. Mina Harker was one of them, and it was all these extraordinary, I don't know. Mina Harker was the wife of Jonathan Harker, who was the first victim of Dracula. The wife was a superhero. You got me. then Miley Cyrus was on that week. I was watching her, you know. I got to be a fan. That was the channel that I was getting. I got Phineas and Ferb. I got Miley Cyrus's show. Hannah Montana, that was it. Was that Miley Cyrus, right? Hannah Montana and this goddamn movie, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, I think is what it was called. So anyway, long story short, I got out of the hospital on Saturday. Barry came into town, and she picked me up. And thank you, Barry, for looking out for me that week. And I really mean it. I really mean it. You know I was not a great guy. But you said so yourself. I was fucking angry, and I was sad. And I was, you said I was terribly sad and depressed, but... Anyway, she came and got me, and we went home and began the recovery. I was a real asshole. I was a real fucking asshole. But all I can say is that I tried to treat people good, but, you know, I was handicapped. And that at that time in my life, I was full of bitterness, you know, about all kinds of shit. So... Okay, so here we are, and we're in the middle of fucking coronavirus, and I'm like, what's the big motherfucking deal? This fucking H1N1 killed 800,000 people in that year alone. That's my understanding, right? Worldwide? I was sick as a motherfucker. All over America, people were sick, and I wasn't like, I got it, and I felt that I was unlucky. I didn't feel that there was any way, shape, or form that it was inevitable that I was going to get it. I remember Jason, my producer at the time, Jason Antebi, he got it. He was sick. He wasn't in the hospital because he didn't develop pneumonia, but he was sick. Theraflu was happening in those days. Remember they had you taking that shit? Was that called Theraflu? So I was sick in the middle of a much worse fucking epidemic. Now, with this fucking coronavirus, it's not even close to those numbers, and everybody's motherfucking panicking. And I'm talking to my friend, who is a television friend of mine, who said to me, this is about TV, brother, just like when Trump was running for president. Why do you think Donald Trump got elected president? I said, your guess is... He said, no, television, motherfucker. Everybody had him on. CNN more than anybody. You want to know why Trump got elected? Trump shouldn't be bagging on CNN. They made you president, motherfucker. CNN made you fucking president. Your ass was on CNN more than anybody, more than Fox. And now television's dealing with this fucking coronavirus the same goddamn way. Like it's the fucking National Football League. Like we're following the ratings, like we're following the wins. We're following the numbers. It's going up. How many? Up. And that's more and more and more and more. And in this state, and this state, and this state. And then they'll go following the fucking numbers like it's some goddamn ball game. You really think they're making an effort to educate you and to lessen the panic? Every goddamn day, there they are, with their fucking numbers. Maybe that's what the podcast should be today. I don't know. This, you know, we used to do the fill-onlys, and I think the fill-onlys were fine for their time, but I think maybe now these fill-onlys are needed. I don't know, but every day, television is driving this fucking panic. Because the swine flu was much worse and was nowhere near as exploited by TV as this is. And that's because television has learned its lessons. Now, there are a lot of very stupid people who think all of these things are conspiracies and deep state. Stupid doesn't even begin to cover it. Because it ain't deep state, you stupid cunt. It's right there in front of your fucking eyes, man. It's right in front of your eyes. Shit's being manipulated because it drives fucking ratings and it drives advertisers. And do they think they're doing anything bad? No, they think they're covering the news. It's every day. And yet, nowhere near as bad as H1N1, which I got. And I was put in the hospital after I got pneumonia based on that shit. And the TV coverage and the news media covering that was nowhere near as fucking borderline panicky, extensive, and over the fucking top as this shit. So dig that, you know. Think about that. One of the problems with a lot of people is they're just not as smart as they think they are. And you don't have to be that smart. That's the other thing. You think, you know, a lot of people, they don't like the elite. What they mean by elite is they mean intellectual. They're anti-intellectual. Why? Because, well, they're smarter than them. That's basically it. I don't like you because you're smarter than me. I don't like you because you're fucking smart. Well, here's the good news. They're not smart. They may be smarter than you, but it's got nothing to do with that. It's got nothing to do with that. It's right. It doesn't have anything to do with their intelligence. It has to do with your fucking stupidity. It has to do with the fact that you can't see the shit right there in front of your goddamn face. So now, you know, compounding that is the fact that what information there is and that we could use is all fucking wrong. Well, how many people, you don't have to keep the count like it's a goddamn, the sands through the glass of the hourglass, you know, like every goddamn second counting how many sands. But a little accurate information isn't bad. And, well, what are we getting? We got a fucking president that's getting it all because he's anti-science. He can't count. He couldn't count to fucking 10 if he had his goddamn, held his hands over a blazing fire. But now this dumbass saying, I got a hunch that it's under 1%. I don't even know that that's doing all that much damage, to be honest with you. You know, people don't like Trump speculating. The fuck is that, man? It's a dead lizard or something. How viruses spread from animals to humans. It's how we got disease. You know, it's how man got sick in the first place. We got sick being around animals, and we got their diseases. And then the other thing we did that was fucked up is we used our own shit as fertilizer. We used human feces as fertilizer. That's how we didn't start out with animal dung. We start out with our own. You talk about spreading disease. So now they got a thing on CNN, the pandemic age, you know, all these diseases. And this is teaching us not to exploit animals for food as much as we do, or exploit animals for their skin as much as we do, or exploit animals as a resource for our fucked up lives as much as we do. Because this is what the animal kingdom is giving us, all kinds of goddamn disease. Anyway, but when you hear a guy say deep state, you're talking to a stupid man. It's no other way of, I'm sorry, it's just no other fucking way of, I'd like to be kinder, but I can't. Because the answer is not, as ever since I was a fucking teenager, when the conspiracy things really started to ratchet up and you'd listen to people late into the night as you're smoking bowl after fucking bowl or smoking hash or worse yet, you're on mescaline or acid and somebody's like weaving these fucked up tales that you're buying into, really deep serpentine conspiracies and theories about things and aha, but here's something else. Do you know that? Oh my God! I mean, the one of the earliest was the ancient the aliens arriving, and that their arrival was recorded in the Old Testament, and that's what Elijah going to heaven. He actually was going up in a rocket ship because he was the aliens had come to get him. And a lot of people may still believe that, but I'm here to tell you, based upon what I've observed in the human animal, okay, and on the actual concrete record of aliens, that's bullshit. Just fucking bullshit. It's just the fanciful imaginings and speculations, you know, of early man as to how the fuck we got here. But oh yeah, they had all kinds of wild. Yeah, the aliens arrived, and that's who Elijah was, and Jesus was an alien, and God was a giant flying saucer. All kinds of shit, man. There was also a theory that Jesus was not Jesus at all. He was not a person. He was a fucking peyote cactus. That's who Jesus was. That's who we were worshiping. That's who we were calling the Son of God. That's who they sat down, they had dinner with, you know. So whatever is closest to reality cannot be possibly true. That he was a man, that he was probably a revolutionary of some kind of zealot, like the book that was just written. I thought it was fantastic, but hey. And here we go again, man, with the shit, you know. We can't get any fucking real stuff out of them. We gotta get a lot of bullshit. bitch.
Yes, Phil. Well, you know, It's interesting, it really is. I think it's always been I think it's always been really interesting. Well, Phil, I think it's always been really interesting the way stuff has been done, you know, but I think it's always been really interesting the way shit's done, you know. But sure, I'll bite. Well, I don't know, and so on and so forth. Testing 1, 2, 3. I'm Bobby Dooley. And what about that, Steve?
I don't know. I think a lot of ways it's bullshit. You know, people are...
Do you want to watch your language, Steve?
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
Steve, he didn't mean that, Mr. Henry. He didn't mean it, Mr. Henry. He didn't mean it, Mr. Hendry. He didn't mean it, Mr. Hendry. He didn't mean it, Mr. Hendry. Yeah. There, I just backed the...
I backed the compression off of the phone, I think. He didn't mean it, Mr. Hendry. God damn it, man. I may have to goddamn move the module on this. I have to move the phone into the microphone into another module. We have one open here. Oh, my God. Mein Gott. Hello. Hey, man. Testing 1, 2. We're starting off with... This is going to fail completely. Yeah, see, it's going to fail. Testing 1, 2, 3. 1, 2. Where's the... All right, well, we'll try and struggle through with this one here tonight, but if I had to just move it now.
Testing.
I don't know, man. I'm going to have to get... Look at what he found. I have no idea if this will do the trick. This may make it worse, actually. Stand by for us to lose our microphone altogether. Or it may help. Let's see. Testing 1, 2. Oh, no. Testing 1, 2, 3. Motherfucking piece of shit. God damn it. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Fuck. God damn. All right. We just have to live with it, bitch. We just have to live with it, bitch. That's all we have to do. I'd like to do just kind of a nice, smooth Jack Jones nightclub ballady thing, but, you know, the words are all vile, you know. Hey, listen, bitch, get my dinner now. Da, da, da. I'd like you... Is that Lang Delton? Listen, bitch, get my dinner now. Da, 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 da. I demand you get in the kitchen. Da, 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 da. Or I'll kick your ass in there. Lang Delton sings the hits. This is Charlie Tuna. I can do more impressions. I do a Charlie Tuna impression that's fucking dead on. You don't know who Charlie Tuna is. I know you know the fish and the... Yeah, but there was a disc jockey here in L.A. named Charlie Tuna, KHJ. I had him down. This is Charlie Tuna. Did it make me any money? Did it? No, it didn't. No one wanted to hear it. They wanted to hear the real Charlie Tuna, and of course they did. Charlie Tuna was a very successful disc jockey, and he was extremely good. Great disc jockey. And really was. Really was. Great timing. Amazing timing. He had a post like Cats that, you know, you hit the post, and then there's hitting the post in an otherworldly way. And this dude just never, ever ran out of real estate. He was right there, you know. Okay, shit, coming up to Saturday night, but make sure that bang, there's the vocal. I couldn't figure it out. That's why I don't think I ever went into top 40 disc jockey work, because I couldn't hit a goddamn post. I always wanted to make fun of the guys that hit the post. That's, you know, you know, that was my instinct was to just mock all of that. And so I was talking last night to my dear, close personal friend, Jackie Bales, back in Miami. And we were just discussing. I said, you know, we should have had a format for personality-driven talk radio. That's what we needed, as I've said to you guys many times. She said, that's a great idea. I said, well, too late now. But, I mean, we should have had talk radio, news talk, which is what they've got now, sports talk, and then personality entertainment talk, which is what I specialized in, what Neil Rogers specialized in, what Bubba the Love Sponge, Howard Stern, Stephanie Miller, Terry Ryder, Liz Watt, you know, you the bunches of people that were doing shtick. Freddie Mertz. Oh, man. All right, man. I'm in love with a wonderful guy. Did we already do all... We did everything we needed to do. How about that? I got it done early this time.